Good morning, everybody. It's a delight to see you all, and I'm not biased in any way, but I'm particularly delighted to see the people in the front row, Jessens. And for those who don't know, it's Christine on the end, and then our daughter, Maria, and our granddaughter, Sophia, and Jessie. Can we turn the volume down a bit, Andrew? It sounds very loud. I'm a bit boom. I don't want to boom. So it's lovely to see you, Sophia and Jessie and Connie. We love having you here. We were just praying before the service how good it is to have children. We've got a special meal today, and you're not it, so that's all right. So we're just so pleased to have you here. All right? Just a couple of notices before our service starts. Hopefully all church members have got their packs of information ready for the AGM, plus some extra information about a ministry opportunity. And that's the way we've described it. God is a God of surprises. And if you want some homework, you can go home and look at Isaiah 55. It was a word that was brought for Chris Fry's induction at Barton Baptist Church last Saturday. And it's about God is God. His thoughts are higher above our thoughts. His ways far above our ways. And he provides, and his is the harvest. And there's an opportunity that has arisen that we need to discern together as the body of Christ in this place as to whether or not this is God's idea. So the information you got today, church members, is really important that you read it. There's lots of pages of it because we don't want things bounced on at the church meeting. This is now to pray in advance. And I would encourage you to read it. If you've got any questions, do come back to one of the deacons or myself. But the full information there about this ministry opportunity is there. And we're going to be coming together in a week and a half's time to discern the Lord's will on that, and also on the appointment of deacons, and maybe one or two other things as well that will arise during the meeting. So it's an exciting time, and but I really want you to make sure. Any church members who have not got the additional information? Good. It'll be there on the table afterwards. And while we're talking about that, for those church members who are not here, we want them to get the information as soon as possible. So if you fancy being Mr. or Mrs. Postman, and you know that there's somebody here who you could deliver their pack to, do please take it off the table as you leave. We'll try not to have a cluster of people around the table, try and do it efficiently. But if you've got someone in mind that you think, yes, I could take theirs for them, do please do so, because we want that information to them as soon as possible. Let's pray before we go any further. Lord, we thank you for this day that you have made. This is a good day. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for the privilege we have of meeting together in your presence, old and young. Thank you for your love and the love of those who are with us here, who've welcomed us, have been praying for us, and are smiling at us even now through their face coverings. Amen. Amen. Excellent. I do like a happy hubbub. Don't you like a happy hubbub? It's so nice. You don't... No. The rustle of snacks for children is always welcome in this place. Let's be quite clear about that. We love our children. And if children are going to be sat here... and as you know, the good news is now that every other week, the children are going to be going to room one during the message. So for they've got their own message, they'll be sharing with us in the rest of the service. Angela Brown and Rowena Burrows are going out with the children. They do need people to go with them. If you've done that before, do offer. If you think, yes, I could do that to bless the children, do speak to Angela. Put your hand up, Angela. They're there at the top. Rowena on the side. And myself. Do speak to us after the service. If you think, yes, I'd like to help with the children. That'd be great. Today, we have a theme. Breaking of bread. We've been looking at what the early church devoted itself to. And part of the things they devote itself to is the breaking of bread. And we have this wonderful scripture that's part of the reading we're going to have later on. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty. Some of us may have never heard that word before. Some of us may have heard it lots of times before. So I'm just going to read it again, and that will lead us into a time of worship. We've got a couple of songs. We've also got space, quiet, to hear what the Lord is saying, to worship Him, to praise Him. If you want to speak out a word of praise, do. God gives you a word for us, a scripture, or a prophetic word, or a dream, a vision. Then do share it. This is a time of encounter with Him. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty. Let's worship. Two songs expressing the same sentiment. Come, Holy Spirit, healing stream of water. Bread of heaven, feed me now. Lord, we are hungry and thirsty for you. Sometimes we don't know it, but we are. And we worship you and we praise you that you are here to feed us, to give us life-giving water. We worship you.
Thank you, Lord, for all the words that we've just seen on our screen. And Lord, it will be so good when we can shake off our masks and sing these words to you. But Lord, we are speaking them quietly in our hearts. And we pray, Lord, that if we go home today, we will take these words with us and continue to worship you in our homes.
Amen.
Lord, you have taken us to be your own. You have put your seal upon us. And Lord, we want to worship you this morning, and we want to worship you on into eternity.
Amen.
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 Songs of praises. Songs of praises. I will ever give to thee. Thank you, Lord. We are already seated in heavenly places in Christ, and we will be singing with the angels forever. Hallelujah. To show us his word to us. We thank you, Lord, for pictures, visions that you give us, and we pray that you would give us that interpretation, application for us. Lord, help us each individually hear you speaking to us. Amen. Lord, we pray that you would meet with us through this whole service, that it wouldn't just be action on our part. Lord, we are seeking to encounter you. You've promised, Jesus, that wherever two or three gathered in your name, you will be present. We thank you that you will be present in the breaking of bread. You'll be the present in the prayers, in the silence, in the songs and the scripture. You'll be present in our hearts. You're present in the laughter and the crying. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So, breaking of bread. An unusual phrase. I don't know if you use that phrase in life very much, breaking of bread. But led by the apostles, the first 3,000 Christians, after they'd been baptized, they devoted themselves to the apostle teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. 2 weeks ago, we heard something about what being devoted to the apostles' teaching means. Last week, David Burroughs spoke about being devoted to prayer. This week, we're looking at what it means to be devoted to the breaking of bread. Now, children, Connie and Sophia and Jessie, as usual, we have an activity for you. We're limited into what activities you can have. I think it's really interesting thinking that we're thinking about breaking of bread today, that Connie's eating an apple and Sophia and Jessie are eating pom bears.
Yeah, because it's not quite as healthy as an apple.
Pom bears and apple. No judgment on parental upbringing at all. Eating and drinking is what we all do. I've been drinking water. These guys are eating. This is something ordinary and yet extraordinary. And so, children, the activity I want you to do today, you've got a blank sheet of paper in your packs. You've got some, you may have some stuff on prayer that we did last week. And if you've not already had it, you can take that home. But I want you to draw or write a picture of a special meal. A special meal. It could be a birthday party, a Christmas party, it could be... that's the fun. I don't know what it's going to be, but a special meal. Who's there? When is it? What is it? What's going on? Those are the questions I'm going to be asking you in a little while. So, a special meal. What makes it special? Who's there? What are you doing? What kind of food and drink are on the table? I'm looking forward to seeing Jesse's one. It could be really interesting. And the reason why I've asked the children to do a drawing of a special meal is because we have a special meal today. We're going to be celebrating the Lord's Supper, a reenactment of the meal that Jesus celebrated in the upper room on the night before he died. We're going to break bread together. This meal is sometimes called, often called, communion. It's a word meaning fellowship, friendship, togetherness. It also, another word that's used is Eucharist. Anybody know what Eucharist means? That's really interesting, isn't it? Because how many have been to a communion service at an Anglican church? And it's often called Eucharist. That means thanksgiving. It's a reminder, isn't it, how often we do things and label things, and we don't even know what we're doing. So Eucharist, every time you see somebody in an Anglican church particularly, but maybe other churches as well, saying, we're going to be celebrating the Eucharist, that's a thanksgiving, which is great. Completely biblical, it's a really good word. But it could be a mystery if we don't know what it means. It's also called the Last Supper. Why was it called the Last Supper? Because it's the last time he ate with his disciples before he died. He ate with them later on, but that's another story. Jesus had sent Peter and John ahead of him into Jerusalem to prepare a guest room for him and his disciples to celebrate the traditional Passover meal. But when it came to eating this meal, Jesus introduced something completely new. He took bread, he gave thanks, and then he broke it and said some completely new words. He says, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Later on, after the third cup, there were four cups in a Passover meal, and after the third cup of blessing, he said this. He said, in the same way after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." You can read that in Luke chapter 22. Now, I said this once to a previous church, and there was a young girl there, and I said, "What's this meal about? Eating Jesus' body and drinking Jesus' blood." And she went, "Ugh." Now, if I gave Sophia, she's coming to lunch today, sat outside, socially distanced, but she'll be outside. What happens if I put on the table something and I said, "This is my friend Joe's body and his blood"? I think she'd run a mile. Her mum would never bring her back. They're cannibals. My grandparents have turned into cannibals. What are we doing? Eating the body and blood of a man and calling it Thanksgiving. What was he talking about? The disciples must have had these questions. What is he talking about? How could this bread be his body? Why should they eat it? Why would they want to eat Jesus' body? How could they drink his blood? It's against the law to have anything to do with blood. You have to drain the blood away. The last thing you do is drink it. They must have had lots of questions, and the Holy Spirit later on would bring back to them the remembrance of this event, and he would explain everything that was going on. He would also have brought back, later on, the Holy Spirit would have reminded them of what Jesus had said much earlier on in his ministry. He fed the 5,000. There were 5,000 men, women, and children. And afterwards, he tells them some amazing things. And Christine is going to do our reading now for us that will help us have an understanding of what this meal is all about.
The reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 47. "Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Then the Jews began to argue sharply amongst themselves, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that comes down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died. But whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." May God bless this reading of his word.
Amen. There's so much in that word. I do encourage you to read it again when you get home. Jesus is referring back to a story that we may have heard of, most of us may have heard of, but all the people he was talking to would definitely have heard of. For 40 years, God provides bread. Just floats down from the sky overnight. And in the morning, I went out in the garden this morning, and there was dew. And I had to work out where to sit and make sure I didn't get too wet. Every morning, they went out, the people in the Israelites, in the desert, for 40 years, every morning they went out, and there was bread lying on the ground, a sweet bread called manna. You don't forget that as a nation, do you? A one-off, yes, but every day for 40 years. So Jesus is saying, remember that. Remember that. That was amazing. But your forefathers ate that bread and died. However great that bread was, however great a miracle it was, it didn't last. It was only temporary. But I am a permanent blessing. I am the bread of life. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. It's true what David said earlier, that we will worship the Lord forever. But in order to do that, we need to be alive. How are we going to be alive forever? Because we will all die, unless Jesus comes back first. The only way we can be alive forever is to feed on Jesus, to eat Jesus, which is what this meal is about. Jesus tells his hearers to eat his flesh, to drink his blood. They struggle to accept what he's saying. And when he first told them this, after the feeding of the 5,000, all those people who followed him, virtually all of them disappeared. They could not cope with what Jesus was saying. Come to me and I will give you eternal life. They couldn't cope with it. They all left. What did he mean when he said in the upper room, "This is my body given for you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." What's it about? Jesus was telling them to believe in him. To put their faith in him and in his death on the cross. Sheila's put up some posters here for us today. Jesus died for your sins. Jesus, the bread of life. That's what Jesus is saying. Believe in me. Put your faith in me. He's not literally asking us to eat his body. He's now risen. He's ascended in heaven. But we are to believe in him, to put our faith in him. To take part in this meal is to believe God's word when he says, God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. This meal, celebrated in obedience to Jesus' command to do so, in remembrance of him, is an act of worship and entering into intimate fellowship with him and one another, and it's a witness. I find myself really falling into this pattern of a Baptist sermon of 3 points, but I make no apologies. We've got Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and now we've got this meal, an act of worship, entering into fellowship, and a witness. We come worshipping Jesus as Saviour and Lord, adoring him for his mercy and grace. We've heard these words already. We have been forgiven for our sins. Woo-hoo! Excellent, Maria, thank you. You can come again. We may say, express our appreciation in different ways. We have been forgiven of our sins. If we said sorry, we're forgiven. Is that good news? Particularly when I know what... No, I don't know what you lot have done. I know what I've done. And I am forgiven. I am in a place of grace. And if you've said sorry to God, so are you. We have been forgiven of our sins, washed in his blood. We've received new life from Jesus because he gave up his life on the cross. We celebrate this meal to remember what he did, to remind ourselves of all that he's done, so that we are inspired again to worship. Some of you this morning may have thought, I don't know if I can be bothered to go and worship this morning. That's fine. Feeling that is fine. The fact you then came is wonderful. So don't worry about feeling, I can't be bothered. That's normal. It's what you do that counts. And you've presented your bodies as living sacrifices to God, which is your spiritual act of worship, by coming here and sitting on a chair, socially distanced from the next person. Well done. Thank you. It's lovely to see you. But you are worshipping because of what he's done for you and for the whole world. That's number one. Number two, fellowship. Communion. We enter into fellowship with Jesus. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains, abides in me, and I in him. This is one of the most wonderful ways to abide in Jesus. He says to us, he commands us in John 15, abide in my love. This is how we can do it. Sometimes communion can feel a bit rushed because it's the end of the service and we look at the time, and I'm going to keep this really short so we don't rush. We need to abide in God's love and grace. It's an amazing expression of intimacy. If anyone hears my voice, opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. You can't get much more intimate than eating a meal with somebody. I'm looking so forward too much to having you around for dinner and tea and things and eating together again. I've really missed it. I'm sure you have too. And that brings me on to the next point. It's not just fellowship with God, is it? It's fellowship with one another. Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. It's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians. We are one body. To the extent that we're allowed to look round, just tilt a bit and look down from the balcony or up or sideways, and you are entering into fellowship with one another, both by coming in the door and now sharing this common loaf. And together with every believer in every country who has ever lived and ever will live. This is an amazing place of fellowship. The breaking of bread was a key way in which the early church were devoted to the fellowship. It was devoted to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread. We haven't done devoted to the fellowship yet. We'll be coming on to that. But we've already started it because this is what this is about. Paul doesn't say much about the Lord's Supper. And there is not much in the Bible, despite what you might think, of having to prepare yourself for this meal. Very little. The number of people who beat themselves up over the years and not taken communion because they think they're not right with God or something, they've done something wrong and they shouldn't take part is criminal. It's the enemy's lie and we must not go along with it. There's very little said about preparation for this meal. But if you want to look it up, you'll find it in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, the first one. And he says they need to change their ways. This has not applied here, as far as I'm aware. You might want to tell me afterwards if you think, if you're convicted of this. In Corinth, in this church that had lots going for it, but they had also lots of problems, there were people sick and dying, falling asleep in Christ, but they were still dying. They were getting sick so bad that they were dying. And the reason was because they were not recognizing the body of the Lord Jesus Christ when they celebrated this meal. Wealthy people, rich people, people who didn't have to work, were arriving, perhaps in the evening, or perhaps they came along in the afternoon on a working day to the love feast, the celebration of the meal. It wasn't just a little bit of food, it was loads of food and drink. And they all came along, they all tucked in, they all celebrated, had a great time. By the time that working people, maybe servants, maybe slaves, people who had to come along late in the evening came along, it was all gone. There was no recognition of the whole body. And people were sick and dying. There's virtually no other instance that I've found in the Acts of the Apostles where people get sick and die. Ananias and Sapphira were struck dead for lying to the Holy Spirit. But there's not many incidences of people sick and dying in the church. In all the letters, in all of Acts. But the one occasion was where we, the body, because we're part of the body, didn't recognize the body, acted unlovingly, greedily, judgmentally, abused their position for their own benefit. That's the only preparation that Paul talks about. When you come for this meal, do not come unworthy, and in his terms, that is, you need to recognize you're coming to Jesus, full of grace and forgiveness, and you're coming to one another. And that's why I think, you know, if we know we've got something against someone in the church, that we owe them an apology, well then yes, that's something it's good to deal with before coming to communion. But otherwise, don't stop coming because you feel unworthy. We are all unworthy. And by grace, we've been forgiven. This is the meal that says we've been forgiven. That you are unworthy and now you're forgiven. To stay away because we feel we're unworthy is nuts. You don't find that in the Bible, do you? Nuts. I'm sure there's suitable, appropriate words. Foolishness. Foolishness. So, I've probably said enough on that. But yeah, let's come. If we know we need to say sorry, there'll be an opportunity in a moment to do that. And forgive someone else. And then just come blessing. And then thirdly, worship, fellowship, witness. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim. We say it at virtually every communion service. I'll say it again and you can join in with me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. This is a witness right here, right now. If there's anybody here who does not know the Lord Jesus is alive, that he died, he's risen, and he's coming again, that mercy and grace is available for forgiveness of everything you've done wrong and new life by feeding on him in your hearts by faith and thanksgiving, this is it. This is the good news. Today, you can be made right with God and become a member of his family. This is a witness today. This meal is one way, and perhaps a major underused way, in which we can proclaim to others the gospel. We tell spiritual powers, the church and the world, that Jesus died for all. This meal should never have become an inward-looking, exclusive meal for Christians to celebrate in secret. I didn't know that the word mass, which means sent out, was not that we get sent out to witness. It was non-believers, non-baptized believers, were sent out so the Christians could celebrate the meal in secret. Who's been part of a church? I have. Where you had the service, and then at the end of the service, everyone was sent out who wasn't baptized, so that the baptized believers could celebrate this meal on their own. Awful! But it was done, and it was regarded as a holy thing to do, and the right thing to do. But this meal is a witness. How can you witness to anybody if they're not there? When they were breaking bread, they were in the temple courts. Everybody could see what the early church was doing, what they were saying, what they were doing, what they were believing. You imagine the Jews who heard those words, we're now going to break the body of Jesus and drink his blood. In the temple courts. Anyway, amazing. So, I don't know if it still happens today, but it's not right. The idea is we celebrate this meal if we believe in Jesus and we say to our families with children, and Paul and Liz know this, and Maria, for your benefit, what we say here is parents or whoever brings the children, if your child, daughter, son, knows what they're doing and wants to say thank you to Jesus for dying for them, then they can partake in the meal. Now I know because Sophia told us,
like 4-year-olds
do. She told us the gospel the other day. Jesus came and died and went to heaven so we could be with him. Now, therefore, if she wants to take this meal, I'm very happy for her to take this meal because she knows what it means. That is true for every adult here. If you know a little enough to say thank you, Jesus, that's enough. You have the meal. If you don't believe that, that's not where you are. You are very welcome. And you are seeing. You are hearing. We are witnessing to you. This is what we believe. So if you think about it, every time you pick up that bread, you are witnessing to the spiritual powers and heavenly realms, to the world and to those here who don't yet know, and to one another. We all agree this is true. That's what we're doing. So, a last question, or a first question. Are we devoted to the breaking of bread? Are we devoted to the breaking of bread? Are we devoted to sharing in this sacrament? Another religious word. Sacrament means holy thing. I think that's great, isn't it? It sounds such a posh word, sacrament, and it means holy thing. And it is a holy thing. It is a sacrament because Jesus said, I want you to do this. Baptism is the other one that we would celebrate as a sacrament, as a holy thing to do. This is something Jesus told us to do. Like baptizing, he told us to do this meal. So are we devoted to this act of remembrance, this act of worship, fellowship, and witness, here and at home and in other places? Are we devoted to entering into intimate fellowship with Jesus and our brothers and sisters? Some of us may never have celebrated this meal at home. You can. You're encouraged to. If you read on in Acts, you'll see they were breaking bread in the temple courts. And they were breaking bread in their homes. In the home, as we celebrate this meal, we are witnessing to our children. I was told recently of a church family. We'll hear from them. They'll tell their story sometime about it. Who for the first time celebrated communion at home. And the children knew what they were doing. They were taught by their parents. And then they were to take part here. I wonder how many of us have missed out over the years, not realizing we were free to celebrate this meal in lots of places. There's nothing in the Bible that says where, when, how, other than recognizing the body of the Lord and being bread and wine. We don't need special types of bread or wine. We have non-alcoholic wine here, grape juice effectively here, just to make sure everybody can take part without limit. They were the ordinary food and drink of the day. You do not need to have special bread or special wine. That misses the point. It's the ordinary becoming extraordinary. We don't need to have special people to lead this meal. It's the custom in this church for the pastor generally to lead it if he's around and he's in the service, so I tend to do it. But there's no requirement. There's no obligation. There's quite freedom. Anyone who knows what they're doing and reverently, with the respect to the congregation, lead is fine in God's eyes. It's really important that we break out of the oppression and the constraint. Jesus came to set us free, didn't he, Connie? Yes, he came to set us free. We must not be in fear of God's judgment, that we're not worthy of taking part. As I said, we never can be worthy. It's only by grace that we celebrate this meal. So, is there something for you to do today? Do you need to be refreshed in your celebration of the Lord's Supper? We can all get in a bit of a rut. I'm using different words today that you'll have some words to share in, because I know it's so difficult when we're restricted with our base coverage. There'll be some words for you to join in about a covenant relationship, entering into this fellowship together. Do you need the Holy Spirit to give you a new sense of mystery and wonder as you do this in remembrance of him? We're not meant to be able to explain how we are eating and drinking the body and blood of Christ. It's a mystery. Do you need to repent of ungodly beliefs taught to you by others or that have arisen from who knows where, and you just got into something that actually is not right? Just say sorry and let's go and be free. Walk in the freedom as beloved children of God. Do you need to enter into a fellowship with Jesus and his body in a new way? Do you need to share this message of this meal with someone in your family? Perhaps you've never celebrated this meal at home before. Now's the time to do it. It may be that you're the only believer at home, or you live on your own. Who is it that you could get together with and share communion with? Paul and Angie Knights, Paul of Mount Olive, Angie who's now with the Lord, they invited us out for a meal down at Brixham, the fish and chip shop. It was the takeaway with a few chairs before it was extended. And all the chairs were full. We had a long wait. We were waiting for our fish and chips for hours waiting. Literally, it was an hour waiting for a table to come free. We eventually sat down, and the first thing that Paul did was ask for a glass of red wine and get some bread out. Because it's his custom, their custom, to share communion, to break bread before the main meal comes. So we sat around the table, breaking bread in the restaurant, reverently, powerfully, amazingly. And it's a wonderful thing we did, because we can't do that with Angie anymore. One day we'll drink and then the wine again in the kingdom. It would perhaps in our mind be like, we can't do that. Communion in a fish and chip shop. Why not? If this is proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes, why not? I was thinking about somebody in our said about going into one of our care homes. And I thought, I went to see Rose and Sue the other day and Irene at Random Court. I thought, yeah, I can take communion. We sat outside in the garden having a chat. Once we get past our restrictions, where we can be close to one another, come June, we'll be able to have communion in the garden, or inside for that matter, once restrictions go. I've never done it before. Why have I not done it before? And because we can be tied here. So, what is it that God wants you to do, or that he wants to do for you? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for giving us this simple meal, which has such a powerful message for all of life, and then culminating, celebrating eventually when we're all together drinking wine with you in the kingdom. Lord, I pray that you come to us through your Holy Spirit, to refresh us, to renew us, to teach us. Give us a fresh sense of mystery and wonder, of intimacy with you and one another, of worship. Set us free from those things that have held us and bound us, that have made it a rule and a religion rather than a celebration. Lord, we're sorry where we have believed ungodly beliefs. We've added man's rules and traditions to your beautiful truth. Thank you for your grace, celebrated in this meal that's available to all of us now. We can be forgiven. Help us have a new beginning today. And Lord, I pray that in perhaps a way for all of us that we've not had before, I pray that we will look forward to breaking bread at home, here, in many other places, in the new season that you are giving us. Amen. Right, children, what you've been doing is, again, it's part of the message. It's part of reminding us what this is about. We like special meals, and I'm interested to know what they are. I'm just going to get my sanitizer on so I can pick up these, look at these, and give them back to you. So can I look at yours? Okay? So I'm going to keep from a distance. Can you tell me what's on your picture? Who's there? Who's there? You can tell Mum and tell me. So this is, you put a chair and a table, and actually the special meal that Connie's decided is this meal. That's interesting, isn't it? So the special meal is not the birthday meal or the Christmas meal or whatever. This is the special meal. And Connie Jessup is here. In person. And you're welcome. You are welcome. Come on then, let me show you. Oh, wonderful, Jessie. Can I have a look at these? Yes. Yes. Oh, wonderful. These are wonderful. Oh, look at these. This meal is a fun meal. This meal is a fun meal. So let's just take joy from this meal, shall we? Let's take joy from this meal. Thank you, Jessie, so much. Sophia, have you got a picture you want to show me? Can you show me? What's this special meal about?
This is me, and this is Daddy, this is Mom, and this is Dad, and this is Mummy.
So, Mummy, Daddy, Granny, Jessie, Sophia, and me. Is that right? So we're all having a meal. Yeah. Yes. Wonderful. A special meal with family. I'm mindful, I said before, that we... I'll move back a bit so get my speakers. Yes. Oh, thank you. Can you hold it up and tell us what it is from there? Whoever's got the loudest voice, what have you got? What special meal is it? You can take your face covering off, parent. You can take your face covering off and tell us.
Pizza and birthday cake.
Barbecue.
Pizza
and birthday cake.
Oh, yummy.
Excellent. Whose favourite food is pizza? Yes, oh, it's a few. One of mine. Depends whether it's got anchovies on or not. And birthday cake. Excellent. Who's at the meal? Who's at the meal, Taya? Paul? Who goes to birthday meals? You don't have a birthday meal all on your own, Taya, do you? who's at the meal? Family and friends. Family and friends. So, yeah, what makes a meal special? Apart from the apple, There was no mention here of the food. It was the people, the friends, and this lovely food. It's only lovely food actually because it's with family and friends. So this meal here, yes, it's the elements. The food's important because that's the way we express that faith. But it would be nothing if it wasn't together. So perhaps particularly I've got a burden today. If you are on your own, ask the Lord to bring someone along with you that you can share communion with. And maybe, well, who knows what blessings will come over these next few weeks and months. Let's have a worship song now to lead us into communion. We are going to be a bit longer today than normal. And there's no way around that with communion. If you need to go, then please do. But let's bring our song in preparation for communion. So we have a PowerPoint now, Claire, for us. We gather together. Thank you. The next slide. Some words for us to join in, if you'd like to. God has made us a people. Jesus calls us together. The Spirit binds us together. Here is the Lord's table, spread as a feast. Bread for breaking. Wine poured for drinking. Signs of his love and hospitality. Symbols of his life broken, his blood poured out. He is not dead, he is risen and present among us. Evidence of God's covenant, grace and promise. So we come in faith to the table, you and I, companions on the journey. Some of us fresh and eager, others weary, in need of nourishment. All of us conscious of our failings. Take this opportunity to confess to our Lord anything that separates you from him today. In a moment of quiet, give it all to God and ask him to forgive you. Lord, we thank you for your forgiveness and grace. Come now, don't hesitate. The feast is ready. The Lord himself invites you. We covenant together. We make a promise together in these words. Creating and redeeming God, we give you thanks and praise. Your covenant of grace was made for our salvation in Jesus Christ our Lord. We come this day to covenant with you and with companion disciples, to watch over each other and to walk together before you in ways known and still to be made known. Pour your Spirit upon us. Help us so to walk in your ways that the promises we make this day and the life that we live together may become an offering of love, our duty and delight, truly glorifying to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This day, we give ourselves again to the Lord and to each other to be bound together in fellowship and to work together in the unity of the Spirit for the sake of God's mission in our congregation, in local partnerships, in our association, and in the wide Baptist Union. We commit all that we have and are to fulfill God's purposes of love. Hilary, would you like to just come up? I've got a few more words to say, and then Hilary's going to lead us in a prayer of thanksgiving. So it was the night of the Passover, And Jesus and his friends were sharing supper together. While they were eating, he told them that one of them would betray him. They were appalled and protested, saying, "Not I, Lord, I would never betray you." Jesus took some bread, he gave thanks, and he broke it, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body." He took the cup of wine, and after giving thanks, he passed it among them, saying, as they drank, "This blood is the blood of the new covenant. It is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. I will not drink again until the day comes when I drink with you in my Father's kingdom."
Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, as you presided at that last supper, you knew what you had to face within the next couple of days. Humanly speaking, Lord, would have been emotional turmoil bordering on panic. And yet, Lord, you gave thanks. You felt it was important to give thanks, even though you had to face so much. You gave thanks to your Father for his grace. You gave thanks for the provision of what was before them on the table. And we give thanks this morning, Lord, for your provision for us, for your Father's grace. For many, we may have difficult weeks ahead. Some may have hospital appointments, family problems, difficulties at work, or lack of employment, or loneliness, or tiredness, whatever it is, Lord, that faces those of us here this morning. We give thanks for the bread and the wine, for your broken body, your shed blood, and for all that it means to us. Thank you, Lord, for our redemption. Amen. Amen.
I'd like to come forward as well. So we are one people, one loaf. This is a sign of our common faith and testimony to the generosity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take this loaf, food for our faith, and feed on it with thanksgiving. We eat the bread as we receive it and keep hold of the cups to drink together in a moment. You have one cup, the sign of the new covenant poured out for you and for many. The covenant sealed by his blood. When we drink, we must be thankful and agree never to forget the blood of Christ. We finish our service with a beautiful song. And those singing are members of Croxley Baptist Church. I've no idea where Croxley Baptist Church is. And when we choose songs for Sunday services, we go on YouTube and we find different versions of hymns and so on. And I came across this one. It was really difficult to find this particular song. And there was a couple of ladies on the video, you could see. And there was Croxley Baptist Church, 44 views. Now, for those who don't know, that means only 44 people have looked at that song on YouTube, on the computer. And I don't mind numbers. I'm not looking for 300,000 or 400,000 views. 44 views. And I played it, and the Holy Spirit came upon me, and I was in tears. Because they're just a church like us, offering their simple offering. Only 44 people have looked at it. It's 54 now. But only 44 people have looked at it. And I'll put a little message on telling them we're celebrating our communion today with their song. So we now have fellowship with an unknown church, unknown singers. Some of the singers are not visible. And it's just a picture of what it means to be in fellowship with the family of God. So I hope as you hear this song and enter into it, that it'll stick with you and you'll realize what a precious thing it is to be in the family of God. Do remember to take those letters with you if you'd like. If not, I shall have the great fun of hand delivering them, which I love doing anyway. Wonderful. Let's say the grace for one another. Feel free to carefully look to the side and above. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore.